Welcome to the first episode of Jesus Talks. I'm John.
And I'm Darius.
And this is the Jesus Talks channel. For our first episode, I'm going to have my friend Darius share about his testimony about how Jesus has brought him out of the gang life. And this channel is really just here to shed light on how Jesus talks to us in our lives.
Awesome. Jesus has brought me a long way. Man, I don't know where to start. Okay, well, first, I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
For those of you that aren't from Delaware, I just have to say that most people think that we're part of another state. And so I'm here to say that we're not. And so first of all, shout out to Delaware. I can't say that we'll always be shooting from Delaware. Right. This will probably be shot in all types of different places.
Oh, yeah,
but
for sure.
Right now, we're in Darius's house. He so kindly let us shoot the very first episode of Jesus Talks here.
I'm honored.
Me too.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man.
But yeah, continue.
So basically, you know, I come from a very Christian-based background of family. My grandmother, she would always have us in church while my mom was away. So my mother was in the service. So the first 1 to 3 years of my life, I was with my grandparents because she was off in the service, serving our country. So we would always go to church every Sunday, and God was definitely present in my life, but not to my full understanding. Let me say that. You know, so that's the basis of where the background that I come from.
So what would you say your understanding of God was like at that age?
At that age, it was just kind of like, okay, this is what we're doing every Sunday. You know, let's go through the motions and, you know, that be that. You know, that's honestly how it was.
Sure.
You know, and I would learn some things, you know, some things I would pick up on. And actually, I actually sang in my church
a couple times.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually sang a couple times in my church.
All right.
That was a big deal.
And this is like a choir?
No, it's just like I just did a selection, like, for church one day. Like,
yeah.
They were like, Darius, you want to sing a song? I said, sure. So
okay.
I was like, all right,
wow,
let's do
dang.
It.
All right. You know?
So I was definitely involved with the church. We did. We had a lot of youth activities that were going on in the church and everything. So, but I just didn't, I can't say I knew Jesus Christ like I know him now, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, it was just the thing that we did every Sunday and that I drew accustomed to. So,
yeah, similar to all of us.
Yes.
I think all of us have a experience with church where it's not necessarily, well, I can't speak for everybody, but I'd say a lot of us as Christians I've kind of just gotten into the routine of going to church over and over again.
For sure.
Kind of gotten into the routine of just kind of showing up and doing it instead of like going for a genuine relationship with God or a genuine relationship with Jesus.
Exactly.
When do you think for you, you had first heard about like having the opportunity to genuinely know God? Like what is it? What did that mean to you?
I would have to say around that time, I was definitely heavily involved in the church. I was doing the communion and I was doing, one of the ushers. So I was starting to get acclimated with this whole system of how church works and how to actually serve. You know what I mean? As far as being able to communicate my trust in the Lord and communicate how my walk was going with somebody.
Yeah.
I started to realize that, I want to say at age 10, I started to really learn and really like, okay, this is why this happened. And this is why the Lord brought me here and has brought me through this, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much, you know, around 10 years old is when I really started to actually start learning and start picking up on some of God's ways and how he does for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you feel for you, like, whenever you were learning about God, like, what was, because a lot of people, especially me growing up, at times could feel like God was a distant God.
Mm-hmm.
He was a kind of like someone that you just kind of talk to every once in a while.
Right.
You know, someone that you eventually do things for.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't necessarily a God that I could walk with every day.
Mm.
And so for you, you're in it. And usher in church, you're a choir. Did you feel close to God in that setting?
somewhat. How it was really like I would pray, you know, I would do everything that I was taught, you know, from my grandmother and from my family, you know, because like I said, we were a Christian-based family. So I learned, I was brought up within the within that realm, yeah. You know. So everything that I did kind of was an example of how I was taught and how I was raised.
Totally.
So, you know, with that said, I mean, I can't really say that I felt close to him.
Yeah.
Because it was more of a not a show, but it was more of like a, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I have to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it didn't grow deeper until I want to say like middle school going into high school.
Yeah. Yeah, my bad. For sure. I interrupted you.
No, you're fine.
Because you were answering my question before my question. Before my question.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Totally fine. So, with that,
yeah. I was asking you about the first time you were introduced to a genuine relationship with God.
Oh, right. So that was like, I would have to say going into middle school, roughly in the middle of middle school. So like 7th grade, 8th grade, you know, I started really tapping into the Lord. We went to this church called GRPC, which is out here, Glasgow Reformed Presbyterian Church. Now it's called the Reach Church now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So basically, you know, we were going there and that is definitely when I just put it all in the forefront and I was like, this is what I want. I want God as my Lord and Savior. And I really chose him and he chose me.
And you were how old?
I was, 7th grade. I was maybe 12 or 13.
That's awesome. I got saved also at 13.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
And you were was this a Sunday service or like a youth camp?
This is actually, yes. Yeah. So we had Sunday services. Every Friday was youth group.
Yeah.
So we would go to youth group every Friday, participate in the events and everything. And then we actually went on a, I don't know if you ever heard of this place, it's called Harvey Cedars. Hmm. It's like a, it's a retreat. It's like a Christian retreat. So you go for the weekend and, you know, you actually have praise and worship with other people. You have quiet, like small groups with other people. You know, Bible studies and things of that nature, different events, games and stuff like that. So it was very eye-opening experience to actually go to my first one because like that was like, wow, it was so many people. And it's like just to see the reaction and just feel the presence of God in the room. It was awesome.
That's amazing. Wow. So do you feel like growing up, because at this point, I believe you're genuinely walking with God at this point. And it's not reached church just yet.
Right.
And so you're like 13, 14?
Yeah, I'm in the transitions of 12, 13. I would say 12 to 15.
Okay.
In that range.
Awesome. And are your friends walking with God too?
I can say that I was kind of like a leading force into my friends being Christians because, wow. I was, you know, they seen how I was and then my brother and how my mom had us structured, you know, of living in the way that we did things, you know? So like, I was kind of like that guy. I was like, okay, this is what we're doing. And, you know, it's either you follow or you don't, you know, you're not going to not be my friend if you're not a Christian, you know? So it's like, but that even gave me power to be like, maybe I can evangelize to these people and like bring them to Christ, you know? So that would even be a greater win.
And what encouraged you or made you feel like this, like that's the path you want to take? You're like, man, I want to tell them about God. I want to tell them about Jesus. Like what pushed that? Was it your church or your family?
No, it was actually it was just me really, because I seen what kind of situations that my friends were in, you know, coming from families that, you know, weren't Christian or they just observed Sundays and didn't really, you know, worship Sundays and put Sundays on a pedestal, even church for that matter, you know? So with me being so involved in the church, it was like, what can I do to bring light to these people, you know, or to my group of friends?
Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit, for sure. The Holy Spirit within you.
And it was tough, you know, like, because I was tempted many times, many, many times, like, and, you know, for me, it was just kind of like an eye-opening experience to know that I was actually living that life, you know what I mean? And then, like, from middle school to high school was the transition, and that's where things were like, okay, what are you doing now? You know, because I wasn't in my Bible as much as I was. I wasn't, you know, doing things that God really wanted me to do and what he destined for me to do. Mm-hmm. So within that time period, you know, I was slipping like on grades, you know, just kind of trying to hang out and, you know, all that aspect of life, you sure. know what I mean? Get social, actually have a social life, you know?
Did you feel like there was a major event and from middle school to high school that really pushed that?
I would have to say just my friends, because all my friends were going to Christiana High School, which is right up the street.
Yeah. So you go. So at one point, you're evangelizing to your friends.
Right, yes.
And now you feel like your friends are having a lot of influence on you?
Well, that and, like, a lot of my friends also split. So some went to Newark, some went to Christiana. So it was, like, the friends that I was...
So change group.
Right. So definitely. So the friends that I was actually interacting with, and they went away, or they went to a different high school.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see them as much. You know what I mean? So it was, like, that kind of connection kind of dwindled down a little bit.
Absolutely.
And now I'm meeting new friends, and, I mean, some old friends, but now I'm meeting new friends, and now I have to reestablish myself with the new friends.
Yeah. 100%.
So which makes the whole situation even worse.
For sure.
Well, not worse, but it makes it harder for me, because it's like, okay, now I have to recertify myself again to these new people that don't know me and that, you know, are trying to, I wouldn't say influence me, but trying to just be them when I'm trying to be me. You get what I'm saying?
I definitely get that.
So
yeah, because God made you to be one person,
right
and on one path. I won't say on one path, but I mean he made you special,
right?
You know, but a lot of times I think what you're trying to communicate is that when we're around our friends or when we're around worldly things in general, it'll make us feel like we have to blend in or force into that mold.
For sure.
And especially that middle school to high school transition.
Yes, and that's exactly
because
what it
was. You're not in that mold, then it feels like it's just you, right?
Right, definitely. For sure. And that's exactly what it was. Like, you couldn't have said it better, you know, honestly.
So now you're freshman year in high school.
So now I'm freshman year in high school. I'm playing baseball, football, and I didn't try it out for the basketball team that year. But
yeah, shout out to all the athletes.
Oh yeah, all the athletes, man.
Everybody playing.
Salute.
I was gotta say, like, I played football my eighth grade year of middle school, and I can't say. I mean, I literally couldn't be prouder. I should say. Yes. I mean, when it comes to football, like I still remember the amount of up downs that
I did,
and the amount of just like absolute like crazy laps that we had did.
Yes.
We had one of my coaches, side note, that I had in middle school was actually, it's when the storm in Japan was happening.
Okay.
And I can't remember why the military was stationed there, but they were. And he would come home literally off the field straight into football practice.
Wow.
And so you guys could imagine what that was like going into football practice. It was insane. I mean, we ended up being state champions. Shout out to Oak Leaf Middle School in Orange Park, Florida.
Okay.
When we played, so shout out to all the people that are currently doing up downs, taking laps.
Maybe 2-a-days.
You might be at the gym as we're talking.
Right.
Literally as we're listening.
Exactly.
And so even if you're on the treadmill or, you know, walking really slow, we salute.
Yes, definitely.
We salute.
Big salute to you
100%.
Guys. For sure.
So shameless plug. Not that, I mean, I'm not in the gym, but that's another conversation.
That's another conversation.
And so you're in ninth grade.
Yeah,
anyways.
So I'm in ninth grade. So now I'm at the point to where it's like, okay, now I'm starting to dive into, you know, all the stuff that high school brings and all the stuff that actually getting older brings, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this
real.
Is like, this is the time where parties are starting to get introduced. The influence of drugs as far as marijuana for me was my choice of drug was marijuana. Like I would choose marijuana over anything. You know? That's how it was. And
And you're really speaking to our generation.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that's the drug of choice. I'd say for our generation
in general, for sure,
is weed.
Definitely. So, you know, I didn't start smoking weed until I was, I think, at the end of my sophomore year, the beginning of my junior year, is when I started smoking weed because I actually got no. I'm sorry. It was the end of my junior year into my senior year.
Yeah.
Yes, because I got kicked off the swim team, right?
Dang.
Because of my grades. So basically, in school, we had this thing called program called No Student Left Behind.
Yeah.
So basically, what that was if you were a senior and you were failing a class during the marking period, you weren't able to participate in your sport anymore.
Wow.
So you had to focus
on
your school.
Yeah.
You know, schoolwork. And
that
everything.
Makes sense.
So
yeah.
I think that
was that Obama.
You
know, like you know, everyone blames everything on Obama, so I might as well just
actually before Obama. This actually was before Obama.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So but yeah, so like around that time I actually I think that's what actually triggered my marijuana smoking on a daily basis.
Oh wow.
Because yeah. like I swam all year round from 10th grade to 12th grade. Like
wow.
All yeah. year round. So that's even right time. Now, like right now, I'd be swimming right now. Wow. Freezing cold water, you know, ice cold outside, still swimming in the pool swimming, you
that's
know.
Crazy.
So it was I was very dedicated to it. I was getting very good.
Yeah.
And I was like actually ranked in the state.
Oh my gosh. In swimming. Wow.
So in several events. So it was like a big deal for me. Like I have the tapes in there. Oh, yeah. I wish I could show you that. But I have tapes in there in the house about, I'm going to say over 20. Over 20 yeah. or 25 tapes.
And so you're actively swimming and in sports, but as you slowly get into these parties, your grades are starting to drop.
Yes. I'm starting to get to drift off of that, okay, scholar athlete, you know, doing this thing, actually staying on the right path to now I'm dwindling over to the other side. You know what I mean? That's when that aspect of life for me started.
Yeah.
You know, so going on from that, I mean, I was one day I was actually out in the neighborhood, and a guy came up to me. He was like, "Yo, man, look, I got an opportunity for you. You know, you want to take it?" You know, I was like, "It all depends on what it is." You know, so we actually talked, and so what happened was that's when I got introduced to the gang life. You know, and it was just like.
And how did you know this guy?
I seen him around the neighborhood, but I never knew who he was. Like, I didn't know his name.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't know anything. You know
what
I mean?
And this is a safe neighborhood?
Yeah, safe neighborhood. Yeah. It definitely was a safe neighborhood. It was in a safe surrounding. I felt comfortable there.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying? I bring that point up because most people think that gangs only exist
in the bad
But that's why the gangs still exist.
Exactly.
To this day is because everyone thinks that.
Right, for
and
sure.
And so this for is a sure. safe neighborhood.
Yeah, so it's a safe neighborhood. You know, I seen him around the neighborhood a couple of times, but never really, you know, stopped to talk to him, or he never stopped talking to me. One day he came to me with a proposition, and I was just like, you know what, at the time,
I had just gotten kicked off.
I had just got kicked off the team. Yeah,
just getting into parties. Yeah, you're like, what's my purpose?
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out myself.
Next?
Exactly.
Like, who am I?
Yep.
You know, I went from being like best in the state to not being on a team.
Right.
Right.
So that all kind of like.
And where's God in this?
Oh, God is, he's there, but I'm like, I'm rebelling at this point.
Yeah.
That's when rebellion started to hit for me.
Yeah.
I really was mad at the world at that point. Like, man, totally. How could this happen to me? You know, I'm doing so good and I'm following Christ, but this is still happening. So it was like kind of, I didn't turn my back, but I kind of strayed away.
Yeah.
So to speak, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it was a major point in my life where I was like, man, okay, I'm doing something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how all that actually originated.
Wow. Yeah. So he comes to you. This is, I'm guessing, 10th grade?
Yeah, this is around 10th, 11th grade. Yeah.
Okay. And what at this point made you want, what made this interesting to you?
I mean, of
course. Because obviously you had heard about gangs. You had heard about the whole thing.
Yeah, of course. Yep. So basically, I mean, I was just kind of enticed by just the kind of, like, camaraderie that they had. Like, it was, like, I saw that to be cool. You know what I mean? Like, yo, y'all are close and y'all stick together. You ride for each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I think enticed me at first.
Yeah.
Then it became, like, the money. Yeah. And the sex. And
which is sad because what we're called to be as believers, right?
Right.
We're supposed to have that camaraderie.
Exactly.
We're
supposed to
be able to ride for each other.
We're supposed to do that.
Right? So I would say that all of those things you probably look for in the church first.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yes, I definitely did. Definitely, like, in that age where I was doing that, I was definitely doing that. I could say that for sure.
Yeah, but couldn't necessarily find it.
Right.
So you went to the gangs to try to find the same thing.
Yes, to try to find an outlet, try to find somebody that I could trust and just talk to and be around and hang 100%. Out with and you know, the whole nine. So, you know, that enticed me, the camaraderie enticed me to do it. Then it became the money and the girls and the parties and all everything else that has to do with it. You know what I mean? So that really changed my life, actually. You know what I mean? To the point where it's like, I'm not even thinking different. I'm not even thinking the same anymore as I was before. Now I'm just straight grind mode, straight this, straight that. You know what I mean? Not really focused on God, not in my Bible.
Not playing sports anymore.
Not playing sports anymore. I mean, I would play basketball every once in a while or play flag football or something, but I wasn't really, you know, being active as I was before. Yeah. Like, I kind of lost all hope, really, you know, at that one point. Like, when I got kicked off, like, I trained so hard to go to the state meet that year for my senior year. Like, and that was my last opportunity to really show, like, some scouts and everything. Like, I actually got a scholarship to this Christian college for swimming, but I didn't take it because, you know, I was in that mode. I was in that aspect, and I was like, man, I'm not going there, you know. But, you know, that's you know, water under the bridge now. But it was just the turning point in my life that made things go from one extreme to the next. So.
So what do you think? So now, so you're like, so let's jump to, you know, senior year, first year of college. So you've been in a gang for like 2-3 years now.
Yeah, at this
and point. Where's your head at? Does your family know?
No, nobody knew.
Do your friends know?
Certain friends knew. My family did not know.
Okay.
No, they didn't. Oh, did it stop? Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So
your family and friends didn't know?
Yeah, family, half of my friends didn't know. It was kind of thing I was just keeping, you know, to myself, you know.
Sure.
I would present myself when needed to.
That was more of a rhetorical question, too, because in black families, we know that we would not. We would not survive.
No.
Right. If I told my mom that it took something from the dollar store, I wouldn't have been welcome back
right,
home.
Exactly.
And so at this point, this makes total sense
for sure.
But yeah, so 2-3 years and nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Few friends. How do you feel about God and how do you feel about yourself?
Okay. At this point, I felt about God. I honestly felt like God. He was still there. He was trying to talk to me, but I just wasn't willing to listen.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to seek him like I should have been trying to seek him at that point in time.
Yeah.
Instead of diving my trust into God,
I
dove myself into the streets.
Yeah.
Really.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That led into the selling drugs, you know, everything. Like, just whatever you can imagine, like, basically pretty much happened in my life. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
so give us like one or two moments that where you really felt like once you stepped into the gang life, you're like, wow, this is really changed my life.
Deal.
This is for real.
I can definitely give you a scenario. So, okay. So one time, you know, big homie hit me up and was like, yo, I got a job for you. You know, I was like, okay, what's going on? What's the rundown? You know, what is it? You feel me? So then he's like, I need to go to this gas station and rob the gas station. So I'm like, all right, I'm with it. And then he was like, you know, you get to keep all the money, you know. So that's really why I was with it. I was like, okay, fine, all right, bet, let's go. So that time, I think it was around, like, Thanksgiving time around that area. And it was just like something was weighing on my heart. As soon as he told me that, it just hit me. You know, I felt very convicted. I was like, oh, man, for real? Let me do this right now, you know. So I was like, all right, you know. So I kind of like put my big boy pants on and, you know, was like, all right, I'm going to do this.
Big boy pants, right? Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. So after that, I felt so bad. And I was just like, yo, I can't, I don't think I could do this. You know what I mean? So.
And did you have anything to rob the gas station?
At that time, no, I didn't. So I was actually, I was actually waiting on my big homie to actually, you know, supply me with whatever I needed, you know what I mean, for that. So anyways, so I think it was the day of I was supposed to do it. What happened? One of my friends had called me and was like, yo, I really need you at the house. Oh, now I know. So my friend called me and was like, I really need you at the house. You know? So I'm like, all right, what's going on? He was like, his girl wasn't waking up from bed.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, what's going on? Like, is she's not responding? He was like, no. So he was like, yo, can you come over? I'm like, yeah, I'm coming right over. So I go over there, and she's in the bed laying down. So basically, long story short, she overdosed and died. So she was in the bed dead already. Yeah. So
and you've never seen that.
And I never
at this point.
Not at that point. Like yeah. I mean, I've seen your nodders. I've seen yeah. people that, you know, are under the influence, but not to this extent. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so that was a sign in itself, and that really kind of swayed my vision back to God, because it was like, yo, what if I would have really did that? What would have happened? You know what I'm yeah. saying? Was it, did the store clerk have a gun under his, yeah. you know, under the counter?
Yeah. Cause you ended up staying with the girl.
Right.
That had an overdose.
Yes.
And you never went to go rob the store.
Right.
Right.
So I ended up staying over there dealing with that whole situation.
For sure.
You know, so that was like, yeah. and then she had a son. So her son was actually,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, and he had autism. So
wow.
he was, you know, she left him behind. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So it was a lot going on in that situation.
Yeah. I also want to speak to the addiction community personally. When it comes to drug addiction and alcohol addiction, I want to apologize on the behalf of the church for anybody that hasn't been treated right in their addiction, whether that was drug addiction, alcohol addiction, porn addiction. God, we believe, both of us, that God can break your addiction and
Definitely.
Bring as much healing and recovery to you as much as possible, and always more than what we need. But I want to speak to the recovery community that has been hurt in this area, especially people that have received more judgment than they have love. And so I just want to pause it for a second.
For sure.
To kind of acknowledge that community
oh, yeah.
and speak to that.
Definitely.
And also to apologize to anybody, not necessarily apologize, but to join you, I would say, in your sympathy for whoever you've lost to drug overdose and to things like alcohol poisoning as well. And we want you to know that God loves you, and that we
yes.
love you, and that we can relate to your pain.
Definitely. By a long shot.
Can go back to your story.
So at that point, you know, once that happened, that kind of like swayed my decisions back toward God. So now I'm thinking like, okay, God, now this has happened. So like you brought me from that little situation that I didn't get into at that
yeah.
time. So it's like, now what do I do? You know what I mean? So it's like, I've still continued, you know, going about doing my things or whatever, and still dwelling in that lifestyle.
And you still feel like God is speaking to you at this point?
And I still think God is speaking to me at this point, but I'm still not ready to fully commit, and I'm still not ready to...
Which is so real.
Yeah.
Like, it's so real
just
to not
wasn't.
Be able to commit, even
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Yeah.
You know, out of fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of so much even stress or anger or confusion in how you feel about God.
Right. So, and that was a big part. Like, that really, like, because I looked at it like this. I was like, okay, am I going to get more justification or more, am I going to get more quote unquote brownie points for doing what I'm doing now? Or am I going to get more satisfaction from knowing God and loving God for the guy who he is
wow.
and for the savior for he is? Like, I was in the middle of that. So I was basically playing tug of war
mm-hmm.
with myself, you know,
wow.
like what, like, you know, the devil and the angel on the side of the shoulder, you
wow.
know, type of deal.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Wow. So you would say, all right, so after you say that he asked you to rob, did he understand that? That, like, because you never ended up robbing
right,
the store.
I never did,
so did he, because I'm not sure, like, every gang that, at least the people I've talked to,
yeah.
is different. Some
yeah.
people, you would suffer serious consequences
right.
for not going through with the job.
Definitely.
Some other people, and some other gangs, is more like a family.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, I get it.
Right.
You know?
So basically, he knew the girl. He knew her. So he was
okay.
like, oh, wow, for real? And that happened, and you was there, da, 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 da. So, because I was there
okay.
the night before,
right.
you know, and I seen
yeah.
her, she was okay,
yeah.
you know, whatever. But then, boom, after we had left, and we had went
yeah.
to the bar. And once we left,
yeah.
we got back from the bar, you know, she was already in bed, so we think she was asleep.
Yeah.
And then he called me that day, the day of I was supposed to go do it, and he was like, yo, I need you to come over here.
Yeah.
So it was like a big deal.
And but she, he called you.
Yeah.
Talk about God's grace.
Like,
holy
yeah.
crap, that
so
is
I'm
insane.
Like, yeah, so I'm like, yo,
wow.
this is crazy. Like, I honestly was in turmoil as far as, like, my inner self, you know,
yeah.
not being fearful of what consequences like that could have happened,
yeah.
but I was just more fear in my, like, for me, you know what I mean? Like, well, what do I do, Lord? Like, do I keep on doing what I'm doing, or do I fully switch and just turn a new leaf, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Again.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
Okay, so then we fast forward another 2 years.
Yeah, fast forward.
And are you is this a gang that you can grow in and that you can
Oh
have
yeah,
ranks?
for
So
sure.
would you say you're
Now I'm
4 years
like,
in,
yeah,
more position?
for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Is
I mean, I've
that
did
right?
some. Yeah, yes, you're right. You're right. So now at this point, you know, I'm starting to see different people and make connections that people that I've couldn't have made connections with before.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So now it's like, okay, now is when I'm starting to get into the drug game. You know
Okay.
what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
and I'm starting to figure out, make connections, meet people, do this, do that. You know what I mean? The whole 1-2. And it's like, now I'm like, okay, this is what I really want to do. You know what I mean? Because the money was good. You know, there was benefits to, you know, doing what I was doing, you know,
Yeah.
as far as just with connections or even like, you know, female interaction, everything. Like, it was just the whole lifestyle that I was willing to do.
Sorry, guys.
It's quite all
Edit that part out.
right, bud. So, yeah, that was just the aspect of that that I definitely was into, you know what I mean? And you know, so I'm going through this whole thing, like, still, like, God is still with me, but I'm still walking my walk. And my mom always said, you know, Darius, you're gonna do what you wanna do, you know, and that was real. Like, I'm always gonna do what I wanna do, but I want, if I'm gonna do something, I want it to be pleasing to God, you know,
Wow.
at first, you know.
Yeah.
So
And you
that's
always had that desire in your
like
heart.
always, like always
Wow.
had, but I've shunned away from it. You know, like several many times, like,
Wow.
so it's like, you know, and now, so now I'm in this position, I'm meeting these people, I'm doing these things, so now I'm on a, like, I'm on a, okay, now everybody knows, starting to notice, like, okay, he's here,
Yeah.
you know what I mean, or he's doing this, or he's doing that, you know what I mean, so my name is getting out there, so I'm
Okay.
like, okay, now certain things are starting to get into situations to where it's like I can't even go out and have a bite to eat. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's like,
Yeah.
okay, yeah, now it's definitely time to go ahead and try to do something different. You know what I mean? So I had long talks, and it was so many things that I had to do to get in the situation that I'm in now. So I just, you know, it was all God, you know, at the end of the day.
Where do you feel like it was a turn for you, where you're like, okay, I gotta stop, or like, did you feel like obviously, or there's a lot of questions. So, do you feel like my first question, I guess, is God, you said, was there the whole
Oh yeah.
time. So, my first question is, do you feel like God is the one that was pulling you out of the
Yes.
gang life slowly?
For sure.
Like, you feel like it was his hand over your
I
life,
do.
or you just kind of feel like one day you just got up and left and
No,
you were like,
I feel like he was actually pulling me out because it was so many aspects. Like, even my grandmother, like, when my grandmother passed away, that really hit my soul, and I was like, okay, yeah, now I did enough soul searching, and now it's time to really change. You know what I
wow,
mean?
yeah.
'Cause she was always, her wish for me was to see me stable, see me doing the right things, being able to sustain life for myself and things of that nature. So I'm like, okay, grandma, you know what, my mom, I love you, and this is what I'm gonna do for you. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So that kind of like shifted all momentum the opposite way.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was the major moment, was my other question, where you felt like you're like, okay, like it's time to go? Because now you're 4 years in,
Yeah, I'm 4 years in now,
grandma
so
passed away.
it's getting deep now. So
Yeah.
it's like, I want to say, like, oh, well, it's actually two instances, actually. One of my
Yeah.
friends actually passed away. He got shot and killed,
In the
so
gang.
in the gangs, yeah. So it
Wow.
was like, that was a major hit too. It was like, yo,
Yeah.
all this stuff is
Yeah.
happening now,
Yeah.
and it's like, I'm seeing it from all angles at this point. You know what I mean? Not just you know, from friends, but other people outside of friends. You know, that's it's getting bigger. You know what I mean? So now it's like, okay, now I really need to make a serious decision of what I'm gonna do. You know what I'm saying? Because if not, you know, there's no telling what could have happened to me. You know what I
Totally.
mean? So that, I think, with him getting shot and killed, that really opened up my eyes, and just being able to witness that was a blessing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the moment, did you ever think you'd be able to say that?
No, never. Like, I was in the moment. I was in it, man. Like, I was deep in it.
Did you ever blame God?
No,
Wow.
never. I never blamed God for nothing, because I knew, like, I knew life is life. You know,
Yeah.
like, we can't control everything.
Yeah.
You know, all aspects, God can, of course, but we can't, you know. Yeah. So if certain things happen, and we're humans, you know, we have emotions and we have different things that, you know, manipulate our thought processes and our actions and our feelings. So, you know, I just kind of figured like that was just a major turning point for me, is when I think death really showed life.
Yeah. Wow, that's so good. And then for the other instance, what was the final instance that got you out officially?
The final instance was me really just thinking of my mom, honestly, of all the sacrifices and all the, just everything that she's done for me. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, yo, I can't live this life no more. I can't keep looking over my shoulder, worrying about if I'm going to wake up in the morning, you know, if I'm be here the next day, you know. And that's just how it is. Like, and there's people out now, like, that probably feel the same way right now, but they can't do it. They don't have that choice.
I was actually about to say that. What would you say to somebody in your situation, like, currently? And you know that God's on the other side, just like they do. And you know that they're in a situation that they could get out, you know, but it's a loss of community. It's a loss of money.
Yeah.
It's a loss of power. And it's a start from the bottom, you know, especially coming out of the gang life. I mean, I won't go into how hard it is to find a job and everything else after even coming from a life like that. But it's very, I can definitely say that I know that it's extremely humbling having to come out of a place where it almost feels like you were a king.
Right.
And now you're stepping into a place where you feel like you're starting over with nothing.
Right.
So what would you say to someone that was in your shoes at that time, that is currently listening even to this right now?
Wow, that's a good question. I would have to say, I would tell that person, man, think about it three times. If you think about it three times and you feel that gut feeling in your stomach, like, okay, what decision should I make? What should I do? How should I approach this? If you think about it three times and it's like you get this butterfly feeling and it's like, okay, you shouldn't do it, then you probably shouldn't do it, you know, or you should probably change the way that you live or change your lifestyle, like total life changes, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it's about. And that's what I would say to somebody. Like, you have to step outside of yourself and see who else, the way that your life is living right now, how does it affect not only you, but the people around you, you know, even your homeboys, the homies and friends and family members and everything, the whole nine, like, how's it going to affect them? You know what I mean? Like, if you're not here, if someone has kids, how are your kids going to, you know, survive? Or how are your kids going to make it in this world without you? You know what I mean? So it's like, that kind of opened my eyes up. And I was like, wow, like, yeah, I'm definitely, can't do this anymore.
So definitely.
I think that's what I would tell somebody. Like,
think just, about it three times.
Yeah, think about it three times. Mm. If you get that gut feeling, like that woozy feeling, like, oh, man, I'm not, and you're unsure, then definitely you should make a decision to change something that you're doing. If you can't change everything at that one instant, at least change one thing that you do every day.
And what would you say that God has to say about them?
I mean, God's a forgiving God. So I would say, you know, God is just waiting for you to change over. He's just waiting for you to submit to him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's what I think the biggest thing was for me. It was like he was waiting on me the whole entire time.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Despite all of the worldly things.
And when do you think you realize that? You're like, wow, God was waiting on me this whole time.
I would say, I realized that like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I realized it, but I wasn't standing on business as far as that.
You know
what I mean? So to speak, I wasn't standing on that.
Yeah.
You know, it was in my head. It was thoughts like definitely going on, anxiety even over it. You know what I mean? But I wasn't standing on it.
Mm.
But like 2 years ago, like I was in a way different place than I am now. So it's like, yeah, it was total life change.
Yeah.
So I just feel as though, you know, I'm surrounding myself with good, positive people now.
Yeah. What do you feel like pushed you into standing in it?
What pushed me to stand in it was really at that point, it was me then.
Mm.
You know, I really was like, man, look, I just do not like feeling like the way I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have these different emotions. Because in something like that, you feel all emotions. You know what I'm saying? You feel everything. Like, you're just very aware and adaptive of surroundings. You know, you're more on point, alert, because you can't get caught lacking. You know what I mean? If you get caught lacking, you never know. You know, you just might not be here the next day. So,
you know what I mean? That might stay in this podcast. You know. I can't get caught, you know, lacking.
Definitely can't.
I can speak to that as a husband.
Yes,
as exactly. A father. You know, but not as a gang member. You can relate.
Yeah, I can relate. Yes, definitely, for sure. So it's just like, you know, with that said, I mean, I just really, I just in awe of God, and just really give Him all the glory, honor, and praise, because without Him, I wouldn't even be doing this podcast right now.
That's right.
You know, and I just feel as though that I am blessed, and that my family was blessed, and that just my spirit was definitely turned in the right direction.
That's amazing. Wow. So last but not least, to end the first episode of Jesus Talks, what would you say to people now that either don't know Jesus or want to know Jesus?
I would say, it's like a garden. You know, you plant one seed, the flower grows, it's beautiful, and then it dies.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So I would say to a person, it's like a garden. You plant seeds, flowers will grow, but the spirit will never die.
That's good. And then in the book of John, there's actually a scripture that I've been standing on actually for a while. I would say over the last 2 years, where it says, it says a seed cannot produce life actually until it dies. Mm. And it says it's the same thing with Jesus, right? Mm. How Jesus went and died on the cross and then came back to life.
Yes.
And so even though Jesus died, the spirit never died, like you said, within him. Mm. And so something I want to speak to specifically is that when we say die, a lot of times we think physically, but a lot of times when we die, it's to our ideas. Yes. A lot of times whenever we die, it's to our lifestyles, mm-hmm. our mindsets.
Definitely.
And so to get to know Jesus, you know, is to learn to die, I think, to yourself.
Yes, definitely.
I agree with that. To your own desires. For sure. And I think you've shown us and communicated it to us, and done a beautiful job of communicating how you slowly but surely laid even your own life down to start following God.
For sure.
Put down everything, and even like stepping out of such a position of power, because mm-hmm. you were in a powerful position. Definitely. For a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
Now you're stepping out of it, starting from the beginning, and you know, you're doing it not only in humility, but you seem to have so much more joy and peace.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely do, and I really thank God for that part too. For sure.
Yeah, to not have to wake up, like you said. Like, when you said that, it really spoke to me, because having to think about having to wake up over and over again, you know, not knowing, like you said, if you're going to wake up that next day. You know, I think a lot of us take that for granted, for sure.
Definitely.
And so, to conclude this episode of Jesus Talks, I want to thank my friend Darius.
Yes, thanks
for
sharing
his testimony.
Really appreciate you having me on the show.
And I just want to encourage anybody, wherever you are, in the shower, at the gym, driving, probably in your car. I just really want to encourage you guys that Jesus talks, that He really does speak to us.
Definitely.
And there's a million stories like Darius's that you guys will be hearing going forward. You'll be hearing my story soon. And we just want to encourage you guys that Jesus, He does talk to us. He does love us. And He does want to be here for us as much as possible.
Jesus talks, guys.
Jesus talks. So thanks, guys, for watching. Please like, subscribe, comment.
Yes, please.
And please let us know what you thought about the first episode. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Welcome to the first episode of Jesus Talks. I'm John.